Aye.
We are now joined by Eric Almirola, driver of the number 10 Smithfield Ford. We'll open the floor to questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. Start over here with Jeff.
Hi, Eric. Jeff Gluck from jeffgluck.com.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi. So what do you think we're going to see this weekend? Are we going to see tandems or some weird combination of tandems or no tandems at all?
I'll get back to you. I honestly don't know. I think there's a lot of speculation about what we'll see. I know that they did somewhat of a test at Daytona after the 500, but it was only like three cars. So just hard to tell off of that. And I know that they've even changed the rules since then with some of the side skirts and the stop in the rear travel and inch shorter and adding an inch of rear spoiler to the car. So that it's even going to be different from that. So I don't know, really. I mean, we had a hour-long conversation about that this morning in the hauler, just about what to expect, what we will see. I think some of the 550 tracks that we've been to, California, Vegas, those places, when you lock bumpers, it hasn't been as beneficial as what we've seen in the past. But you're only talking about doing that for a straightaway. You're not talking about doing that for an entire lap. So I think that's the unknown, right? Is whether or not with those drag ducts in the bottom of the nose, if that's going to allow tandem. What we saw in the past, years and years and years ago, tandem was pretty easy or relatively easy. The cars were all pretty common. We had common templates. The front bumpers all had a big flat surface area. The rear bumpers all had a big flat surface area, so there was a lot of surface area to lock bumpers and push, where now there's so much character in the front bumpers and the rear bumpers that I think it's going to be pretty treacherous. If it is faster, we'll obviously find a way to do it, but I think it's going to be a lot more risky than it used to be.
We'll go to Zach and then Bob.
Zach Albert, NASCAR.com. Eric, if we rewind to last fall and the way Stuart Haas executed in this race, have you guys ever had a race where that went according to plan that well, and is there a chance you guys can replicate that come Sunday?
Well, the first part to executing that was having four really fast race cars by themselves. We qualified 1, 2, 3, 4. So right from the very get-go of the race, we were all together. We were able to get in line, get together, and that basically started our plan. And with us not qualifying 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't think you ever see that plan really come to fruition, because if you've got one or two cars in the top five and the other two cars in the teens, it's really hard to get all four cars linked up. You end up with so much traffic around you, and it doesn't work. But because we qualified 1, 2, 3, 4, we were able to go and execute that plan, and it worked flawlessly. We pretty much dominated the race. But like I said, the key component to that was having really fast cars compared to the competition and qualifying, all four cars in the top four. So that is, we'll have to wait and see where we end up in qualifying. And I'm sure that if we qualify 1, 2, 3, 4 again, that we would certainly look into doing that.
Next to Bob.
Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. You talk about the unknown, and then you said you had an hour conversation about what will happen. What do you talk about for an hour if you don't really know what's going to happen?
You hypothesize. Yeah, you just sit there and we talked about what we're going to do for single car runs, what we're going to do for drafting, talk to some of our other Ford teammates, talk to the crew chiefs amongst Stuart Haas Racing, and just really try and gather as much input and information going into the practice sessions as we can, just to be prepared. That's the biggest thing, is you have conversations to be prepared so that you don't get caught by surprise. That if it looks like tandem is going to work, what do we need to do to be prepared to go? And of the four cars, who's going to get together? What two cars are going to are going to tandem together? If we're going to go out and draft, you know, in a pack, what's that going to look like? What time do we want to go do that? How many single cars do we want to run? How many single car runs do we want to run before we do that? There's quite a bit to talk about, actually. So even setup stuff, you know, how you want your car to be set up and how you want it to drive. If you plan on having somebody pushing you on your bumper versus being in a pack and drafting like we've traditionally seen, I think is going to be very different.
Back here, Taryn Walk with the Tuscaloosa News. I know you're probably asked this every week about each track, but since this is Talladega's 50th, what differentiates this place from others?
I think the one thing that differentiates Talladega from every other racetrack is just the wildness, all the way from the infield to the actual race on Sunday. It's an exciting place. It produces a lot of exciting and dramatic races. It puts on one hell of a show for the fans, and the fans typically put on one heck of a show themselves. So it's a very unique place. It's a really cool place. It's out here kind of in the middle of nowhere in Alabama, and yet we pack this place out time and time again. So there's obviously something very special about it.
We'll go next to Lee and then to Rich.
Hey, Spencer, Racing Boys. Just wondering, have you guys worked at all with the air as far as wind tunnel goes, so you have an idea how the Fords are going to match up together once you get on the racetrack? Is it that sophisticated at this point, since there really wasn't a lot of testing that could be done?
Yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot of wind tunnel testing as far as predicting the draft and tandem and all that stuff. Most of that stuff nowadays is done on CFD study through really smart people and computers. So we've obviously exhausted all of our resources on that, preparing and getting ready. And, you know, obviously have had these cars in the wind tunnel and trying to be prepared and ready. But, you know, I think a lot of it is just predicting, just like our simulation tools. They're all just tools to predict. And then you get into real world experience here when first practice starts, and you find out if your tool that you were using to predict is accurate or not. And if it's not, obviously you'll have some challenges and some changes that you need to make to accommodate. And if it is accurate, then at least you go into it with a good plan.
And as far as the politics of drafting, if you can't find a Ford, are you just going to find whoever is the best guy out there, or do you kind of put the whole Ford? I mean, I know it's one Ford, but when it's every man for himself, do you kind of have to align yourself with whoever is the best car or who you draft better with, as opposed to a teammate or B, a fellow Blue Oval?
Yeah, I think what you've seen in the past, at least for the past several years, I think everybody in the Ford camp has done a really good job of working together. And we've kind of put the Blue Oval first and made sure that one of our cars was going to win. And that, like I said earlier about executing plans, like in order to execute plans, you have to have fast race cars first and foremost. You're not going to take cars that are 25th, 30th place cars in single car speed and come up with a plan to go win. You come up with plans with fast race cars, and if you execute those plans, then you put yourself in position to win the race. And so just look at the stats. I think coming here, I saw something that said I think the last 7 races in a row have been won by a Ford. So that's a pretty good stat to have in your corner if you're driving a Ford coming here. So I think just that alone, just it sets us up for being able to plan on having fast race cars and knowing that the other Fords in our Ford camp are going to have fast race cars. And so we automatically intend on working together, because you know when you go and start pushing a Ford, or you know you're racing around those guys, that they're going to be fast. You know when you're drafting with the Penske cars or the Roush cars that they're going to be fast and they're going to be able to go up front and lead laps. And, you know, obviously the same for our Stewart Haas Racing cars. So I think for me personally, I can't speak for everybody, but for me personally, throughout, I would say 99% of the race, if I have an opportunity to work with a Ford, that's the choice I'll make. And then when it comes down to the end, you're going to do whatever you feel like you need to do to win. And if you don't feel like you have an opportunity to win, then you want a Ford to win. I mean, that's pretty plain and simple.
Next to Rich.
Rich Colbert, Motor Racing Network. Looking to next week, just to get a preview of Dover with this aero pack and your stuff. What do you expect next week as we get to that track?
Really fast. I think Dover's one of the places that will really, really notice the minimum speed being much faster than what we had with last year's rule package. The straightaway speeds I don't think will be much different because the straightaways are shorter than the mile and a half that we go to. But because of all of the downforce on the cars that we have now with this rules package, I think the minimum speed and the mid-corner speed is going to be so high. It's going to be incredibly fast. So it's going to, you know, I personally think it will be similar to what, you know, I used to experience when we would go there in truck race, where, you know, qualifying is crazy. You're pretty close to wide open. And then in the race, there's just not a lot of off throttle time, and it makes it exciting to run and make laps around there by yourself. But, it presents challenges to race.
What about the tires? Tires have always been an issue at Dover, you know, but I mean, with those faster speeds, will that be an issue?
I don't know. I can't speak for that. I think it could be. I think there's certainly potential for tires to be an issue there. You're going to be going faster across the middle of the corner. You're going to have more load on the tires because of the downforce and because of the speed being higher. So yeah, I think there's potential for that, but I believe Goodyear's done a tire test there earlier this year, and they had wheel force transducer cars on the racetrack there collecting data. So that's in their hands. I'm not going to speculate on that, but I think that there is potential if they're not prepared for it.
Eric, thank you, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Hopefully I see y'all Sunday after the race.